of the Living Geek.
Hello and welcome to another Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, a Survivor podcast on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. This episode is being delivered to you by a drone. I don't know what that means. It just says it here on what I think is supposed to be a script that I'm reading off of, which is a result of the fact that I am doing another Exile Island edition of the show. We were supposed to record last night. I wasn't able to make it because I had a freelance gig that I had to do, $100 to go do some focus group testing. Yeah. Good paying. So they recorded an episode, and apparently it got eaten by podcast gremlins again. So I'm just sitting here in my bedroom, reading off the notes, and I should probably at this point tell you that I only kind of three-quarters paid attention to this episode, because I didn't think I was going to be recording anything at all. And I should theoretically watch it now, but I really want to start watching Luke Cage. So I'm just going to knock this thing out, give you guys the quality that you deserve, but also inform you. Because we like to hold to a schedule, unlike last season, where episodes just come out whenever I felt like editing them after I finished playing video games. So today, being Friday, you get your stuff. Alright, this episode was called Love Goggles, for reasons that will become immediately apparent when I complain about the Triforce Alliance yet again. But this episode started with the Gen X tribe futzing around, Ken killing an octopus, which, you know, alright. Last episode I was saying it might be smarter to take the chickens than the fishing gear, because the fishing gear requires a lot of skill to use, and you have to get lucky to find the right seafood. You know, or you could just be Ken and kill everything that you find in the ocean. So he finds an octopus, which I am learning for the first time is extremely expensive to order in a restaurant. I don't know. I don't like seafood. Seafood is bad for you. Fish pee in the ocean. God, I hate my life. Then when he comes back, he finds, oh my God, we have fire because David is incredibly useful. Believe it or not, he seems to have overcome his anxiety temporarily and started to prove his worth to the tribe by creating a fire, which is not an easy thing to do at all. Unfortunately, everyone in his tribe still thinks, eh, he's the next one to go, fuck him. By everyone in the tribe, I basically mean Paul. I don't know how Paul gets away with throwing as much weight as he does. He doesn't really seem to have earned it, but I don't know, that could just be an editing thing. Maybe people really like him. At the very least, we know Chris does not like David. I have no idea who Chris is. I don't know if he even said anything at all in the previous episode, but he's there smack-talking the fire maker. David, as soon as he creates that fire, immediately goes into the forest and is smart. He's smart. He's looking for the idol, obviously, which in this season is apparently hidden inside of a coconut, which is a really great touch. Finds the coconut, cracks it open, takes 2 seconds to look at the rules and realizes, oh, this is the exact same idol that has been played every year for the past million zillion years. So he immediately realizes, I don't need to do anything with this thing. I can just hold on to it, not tell anyone I have it, and then immediately start bonding with Ken, because apparently Ken and David have about the same history. They're both socially awkward growing up, and it turns out that Ken's just kind of the one who got over it, and David isn't. Funny thing is that Ken is just a better version of David all around, like a strict upgrade in all areas. He seems smarter, less anxious, stronger, more useful all round. I feel like he's probably better at puzzles, and the only evidence I really have to say that is that David kind of shit the bed in the previous episode's puzzle. Ken didn't get in there, but who knows? He's probably not going to be worse than that. He's definitely better looking. David would have to basically evolve to become Ken. So I honestly, it makes sense to me now that we know Ken's backstory a little bit, why they are so buddy-buddy, but on the same token, I have a feeling David's going to screw this up. He seems the anxious type who's going to realize, oh, Ken's just better than I am, there's no way I can beat him in the end, I've got to do something to get rid of him, and I don't think he's going to get away with it. But that will be a tale for another day. We'll take a quick look at the Millennial Camp, which the storyline for the Millennials was dominated by Figgy and Tails in their wonderful love biangle. They decided, you know, it's middle of the night, we're stuck on Fiji, there's 8 other people around us, why don't we just make out in the tent? Yeah. I've never really been a fan of the showmances. I mean, hey, you're out there on a tropical island. I can see why you would get into that, but it's just frustrating. Michaela is equally frustrated by this, and it seems to be the Greek chorus of this season, reminding the audience that everyone here is dirty and nasty. I think her exact quote here is, "You stinky nasty and you got sand in your drawers." There's someone else who did that in the past. I can't remember who it was. Shoot, that's going to frustrate me. There was someone talking about... Oh, it was that... you know what? It was Jenna, I think, from White Collar, No Collar, blah, 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 Collar. Oh, whatever her name was. Yeah, whatever. When the guy with the feather in his hair came up to her and said, "I would like to have a real human moment with you. Let us talk about our feelings. I'm so great." And then Amelia got voted out. Her response was, "Okay, sure." And then in the camera, she's like, "Dude, we smell bad. Don't hit on me." I really like Michaela. I'm probably going to call her Michelle a whole bunch of times. I'm real bad with names, you guys. But at any rate, I feel like she is a perfect human. She realizes, look, these two people, if they're together, that's two people who are always going to vote together. That's two people, if it's the two of them and you in the final three, you are not going to advance. It's really a bad idea to let that flower. So she has, she starts calling them out and throws massive amounts of shade on them and does it very perfectly, because she isn't just straight up yelling at them. She's letting them look like idiots in front of everyone else and hoist themselves by their own petard. I believe I said that correctly. Jay, the third member of the Triforce here, also doesn't seem to like it very much. He, in a little confessional, was talking about how much he's going to get all hooked up with that chick, and then he's not going to have time to hang with the bros, and she's going to tie him down, and he's going to have to stay at home while everyone goes bowling. And, fuck you, dude. Why can't... You know what? I don't even want to get started on that. It's just, no, that's a false equivalency. Fuck him. The only other thing worth mentioning, which was teased at the end of the previous episode, was it looked as if somebody would have a medical emergency, and they did. Paul got overheated and fainted. Maybe he didn't faint, but he seemed, the doctor said that he may have had a mild heart attack, but since they didn't pull him out of the game... And they didn't really mention it anymore. It was kind of an anticlimactic thing. And I know that's kind of a bullshit thing to say when you're talking about someone who had a heart attack in Fiji on a beach at the age of 50 some odd. But the doctors really didn't seem to think it was that serious. So why should we? So this happened before the challenge and he competed in the challenge. So I mean, it's almost one of those things where it may as well not even have been mentioned unless it's going to be called back in a future episode. So we'll see how it boils out, but I don't know. Immunity challenge itself involved in... Alright, so this is where I was only paying about 3/4 attention. If I'm recalling correctly, they had to dive, swim several feet underwater to untie rings, bring those rings back up to the top, and then when they had all of them collected, throw them onto a ring toss on floating stations. And the millennials got out to an early advantage and then failed. Like, there was no other word for it. They just could not throw these things on there fast enough. And maybe it was editing that made it look fairly close, but sure didn't seem that way. They got blown out of the water, even though they had had an early advantage. Ken did most of the throwing, or maybe even all of it for Gen X. As I said, 3/4. Look, I play video games while I watch. That's part of the reason why I watched twice. Unfortunately, as I said, I figured, I'm not going to be recording tonight. I don't need to pay that much attention. That's what we call karma. Instant karma. So yeah, Ken got it all, so good for him. This leads to a scramble on the in the Millennial Tribe, where initially it looks like they're going to vote out Figgy, because you immediately get rid of all power couples. That's a good idea. Unfortunately, and here's where I pause to rub my forehead and groan, because there is no justice, there is no God, everything's a lie, life sucks. Nobody could get on board with it. There appears to be a type 4 on this tribe. You've got Yeah, there's Michelle, Jay, Tails, ugh, I hate that name, and Figgy. They're the type four. They pissed off a couple of people by with their little arrogance of, oh, it's a lovey-dovey, it's a lovey-dovey. But they're very pretty, and they're very popular, and they seem to have genuine charisma. And these aren't terrible, awful humans, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, like, oh my god, they're horrible. They're not all Will Simmses. But at the same time, maybe it's just having been a nerd, I hate seeing cool people prosper later in life. Having been a nerd, I'm literally on a network called Night of the Living Geeks doing a podcast about Survivor. Let me cast the first stone here. Anyway, so obviously it should be 6 against 4, no problem. Well, Michelle seems to have gotten Michaela onto their side. That's still 5 on 5. Everything could work out fine, no problems, right? Then they got Hannah. Hannah, I feel, is in that same boat. The notes in here are a little, oh, Hannah's real dumb, blah, 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 and she did make a dumb mistake. I realize that. I'm not going to try and defend what she did, but at the same time, I can kind of see why she did it. These are the four really cool, popular people. She seems to have been a nerd her entire life, and now all of a sudden these four cool, popular people are like, hey, you're really cool, we like you, blah, 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 why don't you hang with us? And so she does. I can also appreciate the horrible position she was in during Tribal Council, because while the Tribal Council is going on and everyone's having their peace, was it Michelle? Yeah, Michelle turns to her and whispers real close in, vote for Mari. I'm on Mari. I really hope that gets picked up. Yeah, the waveform looks fine. I'm sure that'll get picked up. And so they start having this two-person conversation in the middle of Tribal Council, held at a whisper. While she's doing that, Jeff is asking her questions. She has to do two conversations at the same time. She's getting everything mixed up at the same time. She was in an awful position. But at the same time, you know, they didn't give her anything really to go off of. Michelle's argument was literally just, trust me, I'll explain it later. And it's like, with that little information, I mean, again, we're privy to a lot more information than the individual contestants are. People hide things from there. We have editing to tell us what's going on. But I still feel like she really screwed that one up. Should have stayed loyal, like a good millennial. Stay lit, stay loyal, be woke. This actually reiterates a problem we had with the previous episode, although in a different way. So in the previous episode, our complaint was, well, we all know that... Was it CeCe? Yeah, it was CeCe. We all know that CeCe's not going to get voted out because they didn't spend anywhere near enough time explaining why she would be voted out. It wasn't CeCe, was it? Well, it's not important. It doesn't matter. There was someone from the previous episode who we pretty much knew, yeah, they're not getting voted out because they hadn't given them any screen time whatsoever. And so it would make no sense to have them voted out first instead of Rachel. And in this episode, it was Mari. We didn't really see any of the maneuvering. All we really saw was, I'm voting for Mari. And then we saw Hannah taking presumably a couple minutes trying to figure out who to vote for, running the numbers in her head and pissing everyone off, making them wait for her. I'm just annoyed because she got voted off as all. Don't mind me. Man, it really sucks because Mari didn't do anything wrong. She was just a convenient target. She seemed to be playing the game pretty well, as a matter of fact. She had her group, and then her group was just kind of easily led about and just told, hey, stick with us. We're the cool kids. You can sit at the cool table, Hannah. You can sit at the cool table, Michelle. She got voted out, and I mean, maybe there'll be another second chance this season and she'll get a shot, but fuck, dude, she got jobbed. She got legitimately screwed over and seemed to have a real, well, real negative reaction, a real emotional reaction to getting voted out, and I felt so bad for her. I almost wanted to go and say, like, tell her on Twitter how much she got jobbed, but I figured, no, she doesn't care. This was a year ago. She's moved on by now, I'm sure. She's an entirely new color of hair dye, I'm certain. Speaking of which, did you notice? Almost all the people on that tribe wearing red underwear, red shirts, red shorts, whatever. I'm telling you, they color code their tribes, at least at the start. Let's see, the one thing really worth pointing out in the next episode, in the preview, is that it looks like they're going to be reshuffling the tribes already, so I think I picked week 3, right? Points. Which reminds me, we should move along to the bets and fantasy so that I can go watch Luke Cage. Alright, so what bets do we have left? I don't know why they have them on a separate page. I gotta go all the way to a new tab. Very frustrating, you guys. So Legacy Advantage. We each guessed what the Legacy Advantage will do on day 36. The winner gets 4 points. I just got an email. The winner gets 4 points, and he says it's going to be advantage during a challenge. I said it was going to be immunity of some sort, and Brian gets the field if it's anything other than those two. But seeing as how we're 2 episodes in, and day 36 is quite a ways away, maybe we shouldn't even bother mentioning it. The Legacy Go-Round is another bet we have, in which we figure out how many times the Legacy Advantage is going to change hands. Andy says 4, Brian says 1, I say 3. So far we're at 0. Good job, you guys. Oh, shit. Okay, so these next two, Smart Gen Xer and Crazy Millennial, these may have been resolved at some point. I don't know. I didn't pay anywhere near enough attention. I don't know. I'm going to pretend I didn't see him at all. Reshuffle episode. Yeah, I did in fact say week 3, so it looks like I'm going to be getting points next week. Hooray. Okay, good job. That's bets. So in other words, nothing for this episode in terms of bets got resolved. Jesus, maybe I should have just said that. Fuck, dude. It's really hard just talking into a microphone. Ooh, boop. Let me get a little further away from the mic before I say that again. It's really hard just kind of like sitting here and reading off of summarizing notes for 20 minutes. I can't wait to see how short this gets edited down to. I'm going to guess at most 15 minutes. Anyway, fantasy. We'll start with me just because I'm at the top of the list. I don't know why. I started the week with 17 points and a team of Brett, Mari, and Adam. I got 4 points from Brett, 3 points from Adam, and nothing from Mari because she got voted out against her will. Well, that is always against her will. That's really stupid. I don't even know what that means. I lost Mari, giving me 0 points. Which really, really sucks. I have a total of 24. Since I need to replace her, and God is a lie, I'll take David. I mean, worst case scenario, he has the idol, so he'll last longer than she shall. Brian started with 8 points. He gets 3 from Zeke and Michelle each, and then 4 more from Chris, giving a total of 18. Andy started with 10, he gets 4 from Ken, 4 from Jessica, 3 from Michaela, for a total of 21. And I don't think either of them wanted to change anyone because they didn't write it down, so if they did, fuck them, they should have written it down. And yeah, that is basically going to be it for the episode. Normally I would ask Andy or Brian if they had any last things they wanted to mention, but they are not here, so I'm going to just get cracking on editing this thing, and we will see you guys for episode 3. Everyone should be here, everything should be wonderful and fun, and feisty and loving, and we're all going to hug and kiss. All right, have fun, we will see you guys next week. Take care, goodbye. Night of the Living Poops.